There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots biblically based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat and Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, I stand back here at the American Freedom Network, and this is morning at Joel Skousen as we look and see what's going on in the world today. Joel, thank you so much for being with us. What are we going to discuss?
Well, my pleasure, Dr. Stan. I think what's going to become a very usual occurrence in our discussions for the next year or so are the extreme hypocrisy between what President Barack Obama says and what he does. Everything that comes out of his mouth is meant to placate people, his supporters, to make him feel like he's doing the right thing. And it's amazing, there's always a secret twist to it where it turns out to be nothing better than what the Bush administration was doing to us in terms of destroying our civil liberties. You know, I never cease to be amazed at the failure of the media, the establishment media, to counter, let alone point out, the blatant contradictions flowing from the mouth of President Obama. They're so enamored, you know, with promoting whatever the government agenda is. It's only a, you know, they give some what is a considered or looks like on the surface an opposing point of view, but it's always something that still, you know, gives a lot of credibility to the establishment agenda. And, you know, to be sure, President Obama speaks with smooth, soothing words, but they are filled with contradictions that are obvious to any thinking person. And we just have a running list every week to work with here at the World Affairs Brief of things that he says and things that he does are two different things. This week he waxed eloquent and fervent about his vow to see that American civil liberties are never compromised, and to hold government officials responsible for wrongdoing. Now, I mean, that would be wonderful if that were true. But he said that even as his Justice Department continues to uphold the egregious use of state secrets doctrine to squash any legal challenge to government spying. So how is that upholding American civil liberties? In this instance, Obama, particular instance that he was being quoted this week, he was responding to the flood of Bush administration memos being released by his own Department of Justice, showing scorn from the officials during the Bush years and defiance for constitutional protections against warrantless spying, torture, and a host of other things. Yet Obama finished his statement with the incredible, "But I'm more interested in moving forward." I mean, that last statement made a mockery of his feigned concern, and the media uttered not a word of outrage or question about that statement. Let's move on. And, of course, that's the same dangerous rhetoric that President Bush used when he took office. This is like a mirror image. You're supposed to get real change from Bill Clinton, and yet he refused to undo any of the damaging executive orders by that president or even prosecute for any blatant violations of law, including the ripping off of the White House of many historical items. And he said, we need to move on. Well, you know, with the announcement that the CIA destroyed nearly 100 tapes of terror investigations, showing what amounts to torture, against the explicit instructions of a judge, one wonders if even this egregious violation of law or contempt of court is going to be punished. Well, I don't think it will be, judging by what we've got. I mean, nothing has been punished in this administration.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, one thing that really bothers me is Obama gets up and he talks about you know, how we want to protect your privacy, and that's why we're going to have the electronic medical records. We're going to protect your privacy, and we want to protect your privacy. Electronic medical records are exactly the opposite. It means anyone in the government agency who wants to go over your medical records, the most intimate details of your entire life, can do it. Certainly, how does it, you know, we protect the privacy of individuals by making the medical records completely open to any government official who wants to look at them?
I mean, this is really Orwellian doublespeak, Dr. Stan. And as I say, you know, the media isn't dumb. These people can be very smart when they want to be. And they can just be like a blank wall when they sense they're not supposed to probe. And that's what happens. When I watch the news hour with Jim Lehrer and I see these interviews like of Janet Napolitano of the Homeland Security. I mean, this was a tough job. There wasn't a single hardball question, and they were answering things. You know, what about all of the she asked, let's see, what was it? What about all of the stories about the nightmarish conditions of Homeland Security and how it's just a dysfunctional organization? She says, oh, I don't think that's true at all. You know, and she had nothing to back it up or counter that. I don't think that's true at all. I mean, there have been books written about it, how this is a dysfunctional organization. And, you know, the cost of it, and you could say the same about the Pentagon and the loss of trillions of dollars of accountability for, you know, funds that have been misplaced. But nobody holds these people's feet to the fire. Well, you know, Ryan Singel of Wired.com tends to hold the administration, either one, any administration, to the fire on these issues of warrantless spying. It's that and the Electronic Freedom Foundation really do a great job each week. Ryan Singel wrote, you know, it's no secret that lawyers in the Bush administration's Justice Department wrote dozens of memos approving torture and domestic surveillance. It's just that the administration kept most of them secret by claiming that national security would be compromised if the public read legal analysis disavowing the Fourth Amendment and the Geneva Convention.
But, you know, the thing that really bothers me is if this thing ever were to go to court, the people that, like George Bush and Dick Cheney, could say, well, we were just doing what the lawyers told us. And then the lawyers will say, well,
we were just doing
it was just an opinion. I mean, I didn't say it was right. It was just a legal opinion based upon my best judgment. And so everybody gets off and people are tortured and innocent people. That's the thing that most of the people, or many of the people who were picked up, were innocent. They had nothing to say. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders saying, you know, somebody has to be held responsible, because if America has deteriorated to this condition, if we justify torturing innocent people, then we are not entitled to our own freedom. But go ahead.
Well, he says with some naivety, thankfully, Obama's Attorney General, Eric Holder, thinks citizens can handle the truth. Well, that isn't true either. That's just wishful thinking. They haven't yet. I mean, they've released a few more memos, but there are 61 of these memos. And that means there's still about 50 that haven't been released. And those have got to be the worst ones. You know, this is just a verbal ploy on the part of the Obama administration. They have no intention of prosecuting anyone or restoring the lost civil rights.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment with Joel Scouse.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Not just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland takes this time to remind all drivers to drive carefully and cautiously. Drive as though your life depends upon it, because a child's life often does. When you take to the road, take along the three C's of safety: caution, courtesy, and above all, common sense. Remember, drivers don't drink and drive. Let's keep our children safe from harm. That's from Terry Madigan and her fine family and staff at Not Just Euros at 141 East 4th Street in Loveland. Call 663-9594. That's 663-9594.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest Joel Skousen, and we're certainly talking, you know, about the inconsistencies with what people within the Obama administration say and what they're really doing. In other words, they say what we want to hear, but of course they do something entirely different, or as we often like to say, reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, and it's so hard for the average individual to believe that somebody like the president would talk about one thing and then do exactly the opposite. How could he do that? Well, I can remember Ronald Reagan doing that. You know, Ronald Reagan talked about cutting taxes, but he gave us the biggest tax increase in history, then blamed it on the Democrats, but he was the instigator of it. You know, he was against big, you know, government spending, and yet he was the biggest government spender we had ever had to that date. And people cannot believe that if you like somebody, and President Obama is such a likable fellow and so articulate and got the nicest smile and family, that this nice person would say something and do exactly the opposite. Go ahead, Joel.
Well, in another subject, of course, Obama claims that he's going to change the way Washington does business. But as the Jim Lehrer at the NewsHour said, President Obama, and this, listen to the contradiction here, President Obama opened a new campaign today against government waste to go along with his plan of massive new spending on the economy. Now think about that. We're going to cut government waste. We're going to have a massive new spending plan. I mean, those two things are almost mutually exclusive. In any case, he's only proposing to save on federal contracts some $40 billion a year. Now this is out of a budget that's in the trillions. Not a very big percentage. You know, he claims, of course, we are spending money on things that we don't need, and we are paying more than we need to pay, and that's completely unacceptable. And then he doesn't protest at all, this $410 billion spending bill. It's just incredible. This bill is filled with markups and pork barrel projects. Of course, the White House gets away with claiming that this is last year's business, but it's not been passed yet. They're responsible for it just as much as the Democrats are putting it forth in Congress. You know, the darn thing is so long, the appropriations bill is 1,124 pages long, and it's accompanied by an 1,800-page joint explanatory statement. I mean, it's doubtful that any senator has ever had time to read this, much let alone digest its contents. This is just ludicrous to be able to, you know, put forth these kinds of things to vote on. Of course, the Republicans, now that they're not in power, are protesting all of this, which is so hypocritical, because they themselves, had John McCain been elected, would have been proposing the same thing and going along with it. John McCain is now thumping the floor of the House about, you know, all of these overruns, but it's just playing games with people. Nobody remembers that, in the past few months when the Republicans were in power, they were pushing these same things, these same bailouts that they're now protesting. That's just pure party politics. It's not a matter of principle. Of course, then there's the hypocrisy of the continuing bailout. Taxpayers are now on the hook for a whopping $9.7 trillion in an ongoing bailout program. There's no absolutely no evidence that it's done any good, nor any end in sight. Last week, the insurance giant AIG liable for paying out the growing default on the world's derivatives came back for another $31 billion. And this week, GM, of course, is threatening bankruptcy if it doesn't get more bailout money. And other banks are getting in line to announce this next week that they need more bailout money as well. What's the interesting thing, of course, about all of this is the government is bragging that they have never had to pay out any guarantees on the $180 billion of assets that they're guaranteeing for Citibank and Bank of America. And the reason they aren't having to pay out these guarantees is because AIG is paying out the guarantees.
With our tax money. With our money.
And guess what? They're giving AIG another $31 billion. In other words, the government is having to back these. It is losing money in these guarantees, but it's laundering the money through AIG so it doesn't look like the government is having to pay these guarantees. You see, these bad assets in Citibank and the Bank of America are tied to derivatives, which are insurance policies against their default, and they're defaulting. So instead of the government having to pay, they're paying AIG to pay them, and that's why AIG is continuing to be a consistent source of bailouts, and it's not going to end as long as this $500 trillion of derivatives hangs over this economy. Well, all of this has been predicted by many experts, including the World Affairs Brief, that the bailouts wouldn't work and that they would set up a pattern of reward for fiscal delinquency. That's what we're dealing with, a pattern of reward for fiscal delinquency, pouring good money after bad. But that hasn't yet.
Where's the money coming from? You know, this is going to eventually result in hyperinflation somewhere down the line. We don't know when it's going to happen, but
well, strangely
they're just
enough,
reading this money out of nothing because they don't have the money, and we sure can't borrow these massive sums from other countries because they don't have it either.
That's right. I mean, that's why the dollar is rising. It's not rising because we aren't inflating more than anyone else. It's just that we have more money out there to inflate against so that it doesn't show up as bad. And the rest of the world says, look, the euro is a very small pool of money, and so is the pound compared to the dollar. And those people are percentage-wise, deeper into debt and in problems than we are. And so there's a massive amount of money flowing to the safety of the dollar. You know, people don't realize something that my son, who's an MBA major, pointed out to me. He said, you know, people don't realize that 50 to 60% of all investments in the world are based in the United States. And the United States is not that big of a percentage of the world, and yet this is where the engine of monetary power is. You know, a lot of it due to the fact there's $100 trillion out there estimated. Nobody knows for sure. They're printing so much money. But it's at least $100 trillion.
You're speaking of dollars. These are American dollars?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. And, you know, that's a lot of money, Dr. Stan. And it's being watered down now at the rate of 10%. Now, that's serious inflation. But if you took, the amount of bailout in as opposed to the euro is above 10%. So you see, they're relatives, relatively speaking, worse off, and that's the only reason the dollar is rising. But it won't continue to last because we've got a lot more inflating to do in order to bail out these big boys, and it's not doing what it's supposed to. You know, all of this terrible results has not yet forced Congress to say enough. They're still going to do more. They're in this mode of, you know, the consequences for failure are too to act are too great, so we've got to continue. It's this paralysis that we've got to continue to throw good money after bad. You know, except for Ron Paul, the nation's perennial Quixote, who is tilting at the monstrous Federal Reserve windmills, as he should. You know, Paul has made an all-too-embarrassing call to Congress to fulfill their constitutional mandate to take back control of the nation's currency from the Federal Reserve. They're still trying to ignore him. So, too, is the Federal Reserve trying to ignore the demands of, quote, openness and accountability promised by Obama and Timothy Geithner, his Secretary of the Treasury. They're not being open at all. Bloomberg News has had a suit filed since November 7th under the Freedom of Information Act requesting the terms of these lending programs from the Fed and to disclose the names of the borrowers and the loans, and the Fed is refusing. claiming that it would cast a stigma on the recipients. Well, why should it? I mean, everybody knows people are getting bailouts. Well, I think it would cast a stigma because the money probably isn't going where they're telling us it's going. You know, why else would they refuse to pay this out? Now, the Fed is also making a point that's sad but true. And they're saying that we're not subject to the FOA law because we're private and we're not government. And that's another reason to end the Fed. We've given power to print money to a private entity and to charge interest to the United States on that fact. And there's a lot of banks, you know, including these banks that are being bailed out, that are owners of the Fed. And so this is just an incredible, you know, Ponzi scheme that is going to collapse someday. You know, even Ben Bernanke is so embarrassed by the bailouts that he is now falsely claiming that he's been against them all along. And it's just, you know, incredible, I think, what the hypocrisy that knows no end here.
These people give hypocrisy a bad name. I mean, it's just so unbelievable that Bernanke would say, I'm against the bailouts, but I'm doing them anyway. I mean, and we're supposed to really believe this is a man of integrity?
Well, you know, as Bloomberg points out, the stimulus package the U.S. Congress is completing would raise the government's commitment to solve the financial crisis to $9.7 trillion. He says that is enough to pay off more than 90% of the nation's home mortgages. Now, so instead of paying off the mortgage, which is supposedly the problem, we're pouring it down a rat hole, and we still have all the toxic debt on the books. Now, they have this financial mortgage rescue package, but it's interesting. You know, this is a violation of contracts. You can't come in and force any of these people who hold a mortgage to, before the thing goes into default, to suddenly lower the rates and forgive part of the debt. I mean, which person who buys an investment, supposedly going to buy the receipts of the mortgage coming into them, is going to say, you know, hey, I'm expected to simply give it all back to you and not collect the interest that I paid for? And they did pay for these mortgages. So there is no way that the courts, if it goes before the courts, can force these people to give up a contract, because it's right in the Constitution that Congress shall make no law that prohibits the enforcement of contracts. But, you know, they don't care anything about the Constitution now, it seems.
Well, of course, the thing that really concerns me is more and more people, you know, lose their jobs, and, of course, what they're this whole plan that they're coming up with says, well, we're going to reduce the amount of money you have to put out every month for your house, you know, down to 31% of your income, you know, your monthly income. But what do you do for people who've lost their jobs? There's no way they're going to be able to make their monthly payments, you know, on their home. And so, obviously, the plan is designed not to work. But the whole concept is we've got to fool the people and make them think we're trying to solve the problem, when we're really not. That is the reality of what's going on.
Well, it's patently not fair. You know, I've got a son who you've interviewed before, and, you know, he's still got a job, but he had to move to another city, so he's still paying for a home and a mortgage in a city that he doesn't live in anymore. Why is it fair that he and other taxpayers should have to bail out people who paid loans and, you know, and took obligations they couldn't? Why should they walk away debt-free with their house paid for by the U.S. taxpayer when someone like my son or other people's sons are bending over backwards to pay their obligations and are still going to be on the dock for all those obligations for many years to come, when other people, you know, are going to walk away with a freebie? It's just not fair. And so everybody wants a bailout now. You know, it corrupts everyone. This financial rescue pledges something like two-thirds of the value of everything produced in the U.S. last year. You know, it's just a tremendous amount of inflation and money, which eventually will come back to bite us.
Well, there is no better way to destroy a nation than to debauch the currency, and that is exactly what these people are doing, is debauching our currency and destroying its value, because when the inflation does come sometime down the line, of course, everybody loses everything, or almost everybody loses everything, except the big boys, because they know exactly what's going on, and they're positioning themselves to come out far wealthier.
And interesting, a lot more of those people are starting to get involved in survival, meaning that they know that this is not going to end well. They're building retreats in Colorado and Utah and other places, you know, with even high-security bunker systems because they know that nuclear war is coming. So this is not going to be pretty. This debt, I believe, the establishment's all going to wipe out someday by allowing this country to be attacked by nuclear weapons, and then they'll come out of their bunkers and say, oh, look at this. You know, the economy's decimated. All the computers are dead. You know, there's no way to... We'll just have to start over. And I think that's what they plan. You know, if, as I pointed out many times before, the reason they deficit spend is so they don't have to tax the people for things that they would rebel against. If they were taxing people for this abominable war in Iraq and Afghanistan, $4,000 or $5,000 per person, they would rebel.
We'll be back in just a moment with Joel Skousen here in American Truth Network.
People who don't suffer from back pain have no idea how excruciatingly agonizing it can be. Sometimes there's no comfortable position. You can't stand, you can't sit, even lying down can be murder. Sometimes the problem is in the lower back, with shooting, stabbing pains jolting through the buttock and into the thigh. Or sometimes the pain is in the neck and upper back area. You can't turn your head without terrible pain. Pain that bad can wreck your life. Sometimes the pain is caused by an auto accident. Sometimes it's work-related. And sometimes, horrible pain can start with something as ridiculous as a sneeze or just sleeping wrong. At Chiropractic Plus, they fix sore necks and backs. At Chiropractic Plus, they usually get impressive results after just one visit. If you're in pain now or know somebody in pain, call Chiropractic Plus at 303-254-8430. They make neck and back pain go away. Call 303-254-8430. They work with insurance companies. Chiropractic Plus, 303-254-8430.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon. We were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I own tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
S&S Repair in Sterling reminds our listeners, safe driving isn't child's play. Safety behind the wheel starts with you, and part of that means not talking on your cell phone or only using a hands-free device while driving. That's from S&S Repair, where service is more than a word, it's a fact. A fact based on automotive expertise, backed by the right equipment and proven by customers who won't trust their cars to anyone else. Located at 115 Broadway Street in Sterling. Call Ken at 970-526-2668. Specializing in electrical and auto service and general auto repair.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen from the World Affairs Brief. And Joel, before we go on, I'd like you to tell our listeners how they could get a trial copy of the World Affairs Brief and why they should go ahead and subscribe.
Well, the World Affairs Brief attempts to put back into the news the things that the news media purposely omits that would radically change people's opinion about what's going on and what's being said in the world. This is how the news is mostly manipulated. And it's showcased on my website, worldaffairsbrief.com. People can get a sample issue. of the World Affairs Brief by emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com.
Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. So our next form of hypocrisy on the Obama movement is the sham Iraq withdrawal. You know, every statement of President Obama, you know, it's kind of like a Bush signing statement. You know, well, I'm going to sign this, or I'm going to tell them, but there's something hidden that I'm not going to do or I'm not going to say. What is the unsaid intent behind everything he says? Well, when Obama declared at U.S. Marine Corps Camp Lejeune that by August 31st, 2010, our combat mission in Iraq will end, he was fudging by those words. Combat mission didn't mean that he's going to withdraw the troops. He's going to leave a residual force there of at least 50,000 troops. Now, how does that amount to a withdrawal? It doesn't. Naturally, war with Iran, coupled with 10 fully staffed military bases with 50,000 American troops at risk, will instantly provide the rationale for another occupation or continued presence. And The Nation magazine even made an incisive point about the unrealistic timing for withdrawal. They aren't going to start the timing of withdrawal until after the Iraqi election, because that's where most of the violence occurs. So that's going to leave them 4 months to move, say, 10 brigades. Did someone say precipitous? Good luck with that, moving 10 brigades in 4 months. You know, that's a lot of equipment. I don't even think that they really intend to move all those troops. I think they tend to keep postponing this until the attack on Iran comes, and then it will be a moot point, because they will continue to need those troops to justify this new war that they're planning.
But, you know, it's the most incredible thing to say, we're going to pull all of our combat troops out. We're just going to leave 50,000 troops there. Are we to assume that these 30 to 50,000 or 60,000 troops are going to be left behind, or would not be prepared for combat? Are we going to take away their rifles and their hand grenades and their weapons so that they're not combat troops? I mean, this is a direct insult to the intelligence of the American people, but it goes right along with the doublethink that we have today, where people accept whatever government leaders say. Well, we're going to pull our troops out. Isn't it great? President Obama promised to pull the troops out. He's pulling the troops out. He's keeping his promise. And they seem to be incapable of understanding what he's really saying is, we're going to keep our troops there permanently.
Absolutely true. And they're lying about changing the Bush pattern of things like indefinite detentions. The Obama administration has told a federal judge that military detainees in Afghanistan have no legal right to challenge their imprisonment, you know, embracing the same argument that the Bush administration legal team meant in a two-sentence filing. Two sentences. The Justice Department, under Eric Holder, said that the new administration reviewed its position in a case brought by prisoners at the U.S. Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan, where there's at least 800 to 1,000 prisoners kept there, with no recourse to law, you know, complete, no habeas corpus, and basically they say they don't have any rights. I mean, how is this any different than the Bush administration? How can you keep holding people prisoner without charging them with the crime? And it's just unconscionable. So it's very displeasing, and especially the fact that the news media is silent about these things. But even when they mention, I mean, here I'm quoting from a news media thing, they mention it once, but they never make it a drumbeat. And if you don't make it a drumbeat, the American people don't get upset about it. So you watch that. When the media wants to make something a drumbeat, then you'll know that there's an agenda behind it. And sometimes it surprises you. Why are they pushing this? And sure enough, there's an agenda. And yet something as serious as this is not pushed at all. Well, the last section of the brief, I take the time to talk about some of the common things that come by your or my desk, Dr. Stan, internet rumors, bogus claims, other things. And some of them, when they get so much traction, I just feel... and they get sent everywhere, I just feel the necessity to respond. Normally, these things wouldn't be worth the time to respond to, because anyone who has any savvy about how life works and what's real out there in the world would know these are just bogus. But the fact that they get sent to you, and I mean, we talked about this in an interview yesterday. You must have received these claims about China now having eminent domain powers in the United States. I mean, I must have received dozens of emails. How about you?
I did as well, and you know, and I thought this just doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't at all. I mean, first of all, this was started by Hal Turner, and you know, who's long been known for unsubstantiated claims. He does a lot of highly inflammatory thing. I mean, I'm sure he's sincere in many things, but he does have you know, a penchant for putting things out that really get his name plastered all over the internet, and this was certainly no exception. But I just don't think there's any credibility there anymore when you start claiming that someone in the Beijing embassy has confirmed to me that the United States of America has tendered to China a written agreement which grants to the People's Republic an option to exercise eminent domain over any land in the United States as a guarantee against, you know, buying more treasury reserve. Well, you know, we know that China isn't very happy about having to buy U.S. debt, and they're kind of stuck with having $800 billion of it already. They can't very well dump it on the market and switch to something else because there is no other market. But, you know, this is just ludicrous. In the first place, this would be a top secret because it's illegal. The government doesn't have, our government doesn't have the right to give another nation eminent domain powers within the U.S. So if it were true, it would be patently illegal. There's nobody who's going to get on a telephone in an embassy in Beijing and talk to Hal Turner or even give him the time of day if he calls to the embassy. You know, it's certainly possible that knowing his proclivities, the government agent provocateurs would get on the phone to him and claim they're calling from the embassy in Beijing and claim that they're giving him insider information because they know he's susceptible to that. And I think that's what's happening. You know, there's just no way if Turner would you know, exercise half a brain about analyzing why would someone call me up and give me this information, you know, being that it would be totally secret and it's just too good to be true. People need to be careful about too good to be true information. But even if it did, you have to understand the legal process that eminent domain cases have to be decided upon by U.S. courts. The government can't just come in and say, you've been, you know, sacrificed by eminent domain. They always have to go to court to make the decision of whether or not eminent domain is being applied properly. And while the Supreme Court has opened the floodgates of property confiscation on behalf of private developers through the notorious Kelo decision, the courts would be hard-pressed to find a justification in any color of law to allow China to march into court and claim the right to take someone's property.
Well, you hang on there. We'll be back in just a minute with Joel Skousen right here, American Freedom Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
Your brother has it, your coworkers have it, and your friends have it. You need to get your concealed weapons permit, too. Go to www.theshootingschool.org and sign up now for the NRA basic pistol class to get your Colorado concealed carry permit. Unlike most instructors, we provide you with enough certificates to renew your carry permit for 10 years. Visit theshootingschool.org now to register or call Senior Instructor Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. That's Dennis Young at 303-478-8121. www.theshootingschool.org.
Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to join them as they celebrate Passover 2009 in Messiah Yeshua. He brought us out to bring us in. Festivities begin Wednesday, April the 8th at 6 p.m. at the Ramada Plaza, 10 East 120th Avenue in Northland. Beth Messiah Band, Mishpacha Family Praise Dance, and the Intercourt Dancers will be there. Deadline for reservations, March the 25th, so call now, 1-800-205-6245, and get your reservations for Passover 2009 and Chag Sameach.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Joel Skousen, from the final segment of our program. Joel, you pick up the story. You were talking about the disinformation programs and how the Internet is being used to put out all sorts of false information to get us all up in arms and, oh, my goodness, the Chinese are going to take away my home by eminent domain. And I mean, it's really so patently ridiculous. But the problem is, you know, unless people are skeptical about everything they get, unless they know who they can trust, why, this information does have an impact, an emotional impact on people across America.
It does indeed. As I say, if China came into a U.S. court, they would have to present the secret document from the Obama administration promising them the right to eminent domain. And of course, you know, I can imagine the court and the U.S. government is saying, well, we're going to invoke state secrets here so that you can't read the document. You just have to take China's word for it. I mean, the court would just throw that out on its ear. Even though I believe the courts are corrupted and they're part of the establishment, they have to maintain some credibility. I mean, if only to preserve the conspiracy which runs this country. They can't get out on a limb. They don't like to be put out on a limb or something. This is just bogus. Someone hasn't thought through this very well when they put out this kind of disinformation. But I'm still getting floods of these things being sent to me even today. So I can't wait till my brief comes out today to help. Hopefully it'll get spread around. And part of the problem is, you know, Jeff Renz, who does interview me once a month, he's the first one to pick up these things, and it gets a wide audience through Jeff, and I'm going to have to chastise him on our interview in a week to say, you know, watch out. I mean, he put up this next topic, which was this story by a guy who calls himself Truelot. He's it's his real name, a health supplement practitioner in southern Utah who's into all kinds of mystic stuff. He's an excommunicated Mormon. And, you know, he's become a real religion basher. He mixes conspiracy theory with, you know, Illuminati and Masonic things, and blames all of the major religions of the world for being in league with these things. And, of course, being an excommunicated Mormon, he's also very, very prone to make the most bizarre attack against the Mormon Church, which, unfortunately, you know, there are certain fundamental Christians that are eager to believe in anything negative about the Mormon Church, and some of them believe it's a cult, and so they're hungry to believe these things, and I got a flood of these things, too, claiming that LDS Mormon Church President Gordon B. Hinckley, via the church-owned Polynesian Cultural Center, established a hard currency pipeline with Beijing, exchanging trade credits for drugs and for gold and silver while hiding behind the cloak of world religion. I mean, isn't that a mouthful, Dr. Stan?
Yeah, it really is. When I saw that, I thought of you, and I thought, certainly I don't agree with the Mormon theologically, but the idea that the Mormon Church is involved in smuggling drugs and giving massive amounts of money to communist China, I think is so patently ridiculous. But people have got to sit back and think about these things, not just believe everything they read.
I mean, he even claims that it was Mormon Church built and controlled the Shenzhen Special Economic Zone. Here's a $1 trillion development next to Hong Kong, and it's worth more than the whole Mormon Church, you know, 10 times over. So, I mean, this is just patently ridiculous if anybody thought of these things. But unfortunately, you know, there are people who claim to be part of our movement who get it discredited by putting out these kinds of things. And, you know, watch out for people who've got an axe to grind. Well, you know, there was another big story this week. Glenn Beck came on Fox and Friends and had some dynamic news. He was going to expose this story about FEMA prison camps, and I thought, wow, this is something. I mean, Glenn Beck is a perennial conspiracy basher. In fact, he said, you know, I get tired of having people email me about these FEMA camps, so I set out to debunk them. And he said very obviously on his show with Fox and Friends, but I couldn't debunk them, and this is really real, and I'm going to expose it tomorrow. And I thought, well, we'll see, you know. I said, I just don't believe the government's going to allow, you know, Glenn Beck to debunk these things. He said he was unable to do so. He says, I can't debunk them. And, of course, that's really new for him to admit that. You know, as a conspiracy basher on the issues of 9/11, Beck is the last one, other than government shill Rush Limbaugh, that I would have expected to expose FEMA camps. And to Beck's credit, he is one of the few on Fox who would attack President Bush and unconstitutional government actions whenever he could, and I think he is sincere, but he's kind of a bit of a loose cannon with his rapid-fire speaking style, which doesn't lend towards careful analysis when he gets carried away. So I was skeptical, and a lot of people emailed me about this salacious story, and so sure enough, yesterday he came out and said, with a bit of sheepishness, that his research had, quote, not yet come up to a credible stage enough to air. He even warned his listeners, now don't go jumping to conclusions that I've been pressured by the powers that be to say this. I only answer to myself. Well, I'm not buying that. Though he may think or be allowed to think he's making an independent decision, those who control the media have other ways to destabilize the confidence of someone like Beck to go on air. You know, he doesn't like to admit he's wrong. Beck had obviously reviewed, prior to this interview with Fox and Friends, the material that his paid investigative staff had come up with. And he would not have scheduled this to air the very next day. He would have not announced it with so much confidence had he not reviewed this thing. So something had to happen after that interview with Fox and Friends to destabilize his confidence. Well, I think the powers that be got to their investigators and said, look, you better not do this, and you better understand this. And so they come back to Bush and to Beck and say, well, we're not really as sure as we were yesterday about this research. Now, I think that's how it happened, so that they don't have to go to somebody, Beck himself, and pressure him. I mean, if the FEMA camps are real, not only is there the documented Halliburton subsidiary of KBR that is being got a $385 million to construct camps for the Department of Homeland Security, but I have documented one of the major camps is visible right in North Las Vegas, north of Nellis Air Force Base, that is still visible from I-15 going down. If you're going north to south into Vegas, you look over to the left on a mountainside and you see this huge camp with triple barbed wire around it. It's a real camp. And I pointed out in my World Affairs brief last year that they took it off. It was on the rolls of the prison official prison facilities of the U.S. federal government. And they took off that camp and two others that were part of abandoned military bases and went underground with them. They're still existing.
Hey, we're out of time, Joel. God bless. We'll talk to you next week, and thanks so very much.
All right, Dr. Stan.
Bye-bye.
Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Respect and care for our senior citizens should be a prime concern for everyone in our community. It shouldn't matter what season it is. Keep an extra eye open for our seniors and check on them on a regular basis and make sure they have what they need. Help with chores, visit a hospital or a nursing home. Keep hope alive by letting them know someone cares. This message courtesy of the folks who care at Brush Housing Authority, who say our area is a great place to live, work, shop, and raise our families. They're doing their part to keep it that way. That's Brush Housing Authority, 970-482-5046.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13.
Worship and warfare,
holy places, and in his hands. 3 praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here. I hope you enjoy our weekly conversations with Joel. I know that I do, and I think there's a great deal to be gleaned from his research. And then, of course, we are really in terrible straits financially, and I hate to tell you this, but things are just going to continue getting worse. Because contrary to everything you're being told by the media, the idea that our government officials are just bumbling along, they don't quite know what to do, they know exactly what is happening, and they're not trying to solve it. And why would that be? Because, of course, they intend to destroy the infrastructure of our society. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, for the same reasons they've been wanting intentionally to actually move our manufacturing offshore, move our wealth offshore, move our jobs offshore. The plan is to transfer the wealth of the American people to other nations and to impoverish the American people and to raise our living standard to that of the Chinese worker. Well, I say that with tongue-in-cheek. How do I say these things? Well, I've read the plan, the master plan. You can get it off the Internet. It's called the Earth Charter. It's written by 3 billionaires. Mikhail Gorbachev, formerly dictator of Russia, deeply involved in the occult. Marie Strong, a multi-billionaire, former assistant head of the United Nations, and very fairly closely affiliated with the Rockefellers. And then Stephen Rockefeller, the son of Nelson Rockefeller, the most wealthy family, probably one of the two wealthiest families in the world, right along with the Rothschilds. And so why are these people writing an Earth Charter? Well, they're laying out a plan. It is an occult plan for the world. All of these people involved in the occult, in touch with the other dimension. And what are they talking about? Point 10A, 10B, is equitable distribution of wealth within nations. That's communism, of course. And equitable distribution of wealth between nations. And that's why they're going to transfer our wealth to other countries. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know until it's far too late. That's why you need, of course, to get my book, The Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it and circulate it and get the DVD. You're welcome to copy the DVD and get it out so people will understand what we're really fighting. It has nothing to do with Democrats and Republicans and right and left and conservative and liberal. That's simply how they get you disoriented, not to be able to see what the real battle is. You need to get, of course, my talk on the Forbidden Secret and the syllabus that goes with that. You need to get the DVDs, and we recommend, if you're only going to get one, get the Secret Mystery of America, pardon me, of the Eye of the Phoenix. And of course, it goes into the background of the symbology, the occult symbols on the back of the dollar bill, put there by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was involved not only with Masonry, but with Satanism. And first, he's the man who began packing the Supreme Court with Masons so they could take God and prayer out of our schools. But you need to see The Eye of the Phoenix. There are two other DVDs in the set. One is The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. The other is Riddles in Stone, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital. And then two others, not as professionally done, I'll admit, but they don't cost as much either. But that would be Chris Pinto's The Atlantis Connection and The Emergence with Constance Cumby, talking about what the people within the occult say about the coming of the Antichrist, and they believe his coming is imminent. The Emergence is the title, and then we have a 4-tape set for the Constance Cumby, The Aquarian Conspiracy, and that's a good place to get started. Remember, I number 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family, we would welcome your help and support. And so please pray for America, pray for revival, pray for Radio Liberty.